By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God. And this is the greatest commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. So, in my growing up, there was a very familiar and consistent scene at our family dinner table. My father and I debating any subject that came up. Philosophy, ethics, politics, religion, every subject was up for grabs. And our debating was rather intense, especially around the intersection of politics and religion. You see, my father was a very fiscally conservative Republican, and I, well, now, as we debated, our voices would grow louder and our tenor less polite. And when this happened, my mother would walk over, often setting some dish of food down on the table with a rather assertive gesture, and she would look at us with that look, you know, the look that only a mom can muster up, and she would say, "Enough. God is love, the end." To which I would respond by looking at my father, and I would say, "Okay, Dad, God is love, sure, but what then is love?" And then off we would go. And then my mother, making an audible sign, would exit the room. The word love is mentioned 538 times in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. 538 times. It is mentioned more than fear, more than sin, more than the word salvation. And love, our scripture tells us, is the greatest commandment of all. Love is stronger than death. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love conquers the world. Love wins. But how do we know that we love the children of God? So is there a more important conversation for us as Christians to have together than that of love? In our Eucharistic prayer, we have been praying for the past several weeks, we say this: God, you made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways, but we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. You may have noticed that often when I pray this, I say instead, as a good mother cares for her children. Because I know, we know, that not all children have a good mother. Not all children are so blessed to not be forgotten by their mother. And this is a deep grief, to be forgotten by one's mother. And so I recognize this deep grief by inserting this word good, because it is indeed the action of a good mother to always remember her children. And as a good mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey God's commandment. This is what we hear in our scripture today. And on this day in our nation, when we celebrate mothers and mothering, it seems a perfect day to have a conversation about love. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson declared the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day. However, some of you may know this, 40 years before the official day was named a national holiday, Julia Ward Howe and Ann Jarvis, suffragist and peace activist, had been advocating for a day to recognize mothering, not necessarily mothers, but mothering. This advocacy for a day to celebrate mothering had been denied by our government for many years before 1914, but these women did not forget, And they kept speaking, kept advocating for recognition because they felt deeply that the world and our nation in particular needed a day to remember, in Ann Jarvis's words, the person who had done more for you than anyone in the world. A day to remember the call to mother love, abide in my love. Last Sunday, in her sermon from Los Angeles, the Reverend Naomi Tutu reminded us of an important quote from the philosopher Elie Wiesel. He says this: "The opposite of love is not hatred. The opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of love is the indifference that comes from choosing to forget. Like a good mother, you would not forget us. The opposite of love is indifference, and yet a good mother never forgets her children." Now, those of you that are mothers or who have been mothered well by a person in this world know that there are times when we are frustrated and angry and disappointed and overwhelmed by our children or those we mother. But none of those feelings are the opposite of love. None of those feelings arise from the act of forgetting. These feelings are simply a response to feeling deep love and of being human. Jesus says, "My commandment is this, to love one another as I have loved you." Throughout Scripture, we see Jesus loving in the world. In our Eucharistic prayer, we say this also: living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all of the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He ate with sinners, healed, spoke of the good news, but he also called out those that were abusing their power, because throughout Scripture, Jesus is anything but indifferent. 40 years before Mother's Day became a holiday, in the year 1870, Julia Ward Howe wrote her Mother's Day proclamation. In the proclamation, she says this: "In this day of progress, in this century of light, the ambition of rulers has been allowed to barter the dear interest of domestic life. The mother has a sacred and commanding word to say to the sons who owe their life to her suffering. That word should now be heard and answered to as never before. Arise, then, Christian women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears, say firmly, our son shall not be taken from us, to forget all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. Arise, then, all women who have hearts. Arise, do not forget, but arise out of your indifference and lift up your voices in love." This Mother's Day proclamation is what birthed this day we celebrate today. But as things go, it did not take long for people to forget the original message of advocating for peace. In just a matter of years, the original message of powerful advocacy and celebration of mother love, of mothering, of peace, was twisted into Hallmark cards and consumer marketing. It didn't take long before the original message of radical love was forgotten and became instead a message of consumption, of indifference to the very suffering that these women were lifting their collective voices to ask the world to remember. Julia and Anne were furious that their message was being forgotten. They were angry, but they were not indifferent. The opposite of love is not hatred or anger or frustration. It is indifference. The truth of radical love, kind of love that requires of us not to forget the suffering of others, but asks of us our full attention, is often twisted into a narrative of passive and polite, orderly love, the kind of love that is easy to control or to appropriate. We can see this even in how the story of Jesus has been twisted by some who choose to forget his original message. And we can see this in how some of the church has chosen to forget the suffering of so many in this world, and how we have at times become indifferent to suffering. In this season of Easter, during the time before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit births the church, we have before us an opportunity to enter into a conversation about radical love. And in it, we may discover new ways of understanding and acting on our greatest commandment to love. What does it mean for us as Christians and as church to truly, radically love in this world? Now, friends, I want to be honest with you now. My husband and I just celebrated our anniversary, but we are very much still learning how to love each other well. I've been a mom for 13 years, but I am still learning how to love my daughter well. And I have been a Christian for 47 years, but I am still learning how to really love like Jesus. And what I have learned thus far about radical love is this: to become remembering of love, to embody radical love, to resist this impulse to forget when we are faced with suffering around us. What I have learned is that my greatest tool in resisting this is to be deeply curious about the suffering I witness in the world. Deeply curious about the suffering in the world and in myself. Every loving conversation, every loving action, every loving thought begins with curiosity, not judgment or analysis or shame or suspicion or denial, but deep curiosity, which is the opposite of forgetting. When we see suffering in the world and in ourselves, and we begin with wondering and curiosity and conversation, our hearts open to more deeply understanding love. Arise then, Christian people of this day. Arise, all who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears. Do not forget, but arise out of your indifference and turn toward love with deep curiosity. When we see a person who is living outdoors, or a person who is begging for money, or a person who is suffering from addiction, or a black person being killed in the streets or in their home, or a child who is hungry, if we forget what we have seen, and if we then feel nothing, that is indifference, and that is the opposite of love. Jesus says, "My greatest commandment is this, to love as you have been loved." Living among us, Jesus loved us, and like a good mother, he would not forget us. We as Christians, as mothers, as grandmothers, as grandfathers, as brothers and sisters, are being invited to rise up out of our indifference and to be curious together. How is God calling us to radically love now in the world? So, Christian people, let us arise, all who have hearts, and let us gather at God's table. And as Jesus asks us to do, let us remember him who loved us to the end. And from that place of remembering, from that place of deep curiosity, let us have this conversation. How do we radically love like Jesus loves us? Because he has given us this commandment, so that we may, in fact, love one another. Amen.